Let's get into the Word of God. This is part two of Genesis chapter 3. And we're talking about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know that I thought was so amazing as all these little coincidences that we think happen in our life. And sometimes we have the wisdom enough to attribute it to God and the understanding of God enough to say, God, this was not by accident. See, God is so good. He orchestrates all these things. Everything, the good things that happened in your life, God has orchestrated. The bad things that happened in your life, God has allowed and orchestrates it to build you up. The difficult times that you're going through your life where you think you're going to fall apart, where you think you can't take anymore, and I'm going to quote something, the Bible does not say that God will give you more than what you can handle. That is a lie. The Bible says, that's a misquoted scripture by Christians many times, it's okay, we make mistakes. It says, He will not tempt you beyond your means, and through every temptation, He will provide a way of excuse. You will not be tempted more than what you can handle, is what this verse says. But God often gives us more than what we can handle. Well, why? Why would He do that? So that when you're in the midst of things that you cannot handle, who are you going to run to? Are you going to run to the pastor? Are you going to run to a denomination? Are you going to run to a close friend? Are you going to run to a relative? Or are you going to run to Jesus Christ? Are you going to go to the creator of life, the one who knows you since before you were formed in your mother's womb, the one who called you by name, the one who has established you? The reason that you're alive right here, right now, today, is because of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the one we run to. And how many of us have not gone through difficult circumstances, whether of our own doing, and we call them consequences. We make wrong choices, just like our friend Adolfo. He's been making wrong choices. He's lost his apartment. He's lost his girlfriend. He's lost his relationship with his brothers, and all because of bad choices, alcohol and drugs. That's all it is. How many of you think that because of the bad choices you make, God doesn't love you? He loves you. How many of you think, well, because of the bad choices I've made, God, you know, I can't get back to where I was. You know what I told Adolfo this morning? I've been where you've been, where you're at right now. I've been in the fights. I didn't do drugs, but I was in, alcohol was my drug. I've lost everything. But God can restore you. God can lift you up. You don't have to live this way. He goes, I don't want to live this way. Pray that He comes to church. And for all of you that maybe this is your first time in church, keep coming to church. I told him, remember what our parents used to say. Dime con quién andas, te diré quién eres. He said, Adolfo, who you hang out with is what you become. Hang out with us, I said. Hang out with Christians, I said. My friends, many of them left me, but you know what? After the years of walking with Jesus, when they're in hardship, they call me. They call me. You guys know. You've experienced that. They leave you for a time, but when the rubber meets the road, when things are hard, they know you're a man or a woman or a youth of prayer. Just like Kim said, I know this church prays. Keep praying. Keep being a man or woman or youth or child of prayer. In Genesis chapter 3, we looked at the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It says in verse 6 of chapter 3, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, there's the lust of the flesh. I got to give what, you know, I'm hungry. And this is good food. We're going to partake of it. Be careful. Remember who's setting this up. This is the tree that the Lord said, do not eat of its fruit. Out of everything in the garden, you may freely, God's given us so much to be able to partake of. So many good things. Don't partake of the bad. And the enemy comes in as like a serpent and says, oh no, it's okay. It's okay. That's why it's so important for us to know the Word of God so we know exactly what it says. When someone tells you God will never give you more than what you can handle, no, that's not true. What do you say to someone who just lost their child? Well, God never gives you more than what you can handle. That'll crush them. Don't tell them that. Just be there for them. Hug them. Pray with them, whatever. How are you going to comfort them? There's no comfort to be found. When they're lost in just the sorrow of losing a loved one, you can't say it's going to be all right. You can't say that God's going to bring them back to you. All you can do is be there. And if they open up, you just love on them. Say, I'm here for you as much as possible. I know you know God, and I know He'll see you through this. For when things are hard, harder than we can bear, He's with you. That's the time He's closest to you. Don't let go of God. Don't blame it on God. Stay close to God. And I'm here for you as much as I can. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that when you are comforted, that you will be able to go out and comfort with the same comfort that you were comforted with. You know what comforted me in my low times and my sorrowful times? Jesus. Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you have that presence of the Holy Spirit within you. Just your presence in those times, sometimes it's all you have to be. The Bible says that she looked at it. It was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and she ate. She also gave to her husband who was with her. And we talk about how he should have stood in the gap. He should have said something. He should have said, don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. That's how we are to protect those that God has placed around us, not just our spouses. And he ate. He willfully ate. She was deceived. He willfully transgressed. The Bible says that then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked. And we spoke of how nakedness in the Bible is always a type of sin throughout, and how they hung Jesus naked, not with the little diaper that we see, but naked. He bore our shame. He bore our nakedness, if you will. And they made leaves together. They got fig leaves, and fig leaves are about this big. And when they dry, they get rough and itchy and kind of splintery, kind of, you know what? Anything you try and cover up your sin with is going to itch. It's not going to work. You'll be uncomfortable. It's the only thing you can do is confess your sin. Like Jesus said to the woman who was thrown at his feet. And they said, shall we stone her? And he started to write in the sand. And once they left, he says, arise, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. That's our goal. Go and sin no more. When God has lifted you up, stay away from the places so you don't have to cover up your sin with uncomfortableness. It's interesting because people will talk to you and they'll try and cover up their sin. And you know, you smell the breath. Whatever it is, you hear it in their voice, what they're involved in. And they're the only ones who think that they're covering up their sin, that their sin is covered. Everybody else knows. People see them in the places they're not supposed to be. We think we're fooling people, we think we're fooling God, and we're not even fooling people. It's like someone standing by a fire at a camp. You know they've been camping. They walked up to you. Well, you know. They tried covering their sin. And you know how God is. He seeks you out. Last week we saw how he sought them out. He says, Adam, where are you? Where are you? I hid myself from the presence of the Lord, and I'm among the trees. And like Adolfo said, he says, and they were naked. And I go, that's right. Their sin was found out. And God called to Adam, and he says, where are you? He says, I heard your voice, and I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you? You know when you sin. Nobody has to tell you. When you're a child and you mess up and nobody has told you specifically, don't do this, and you do it, and all of a sudden there's that guilt. And they say, did you do it? No. How do they know? Sin is in us. We know when we're wrong. We know it. And if we deny it, the Bible says, then we're antichrist. We're not agreeing with Christ. But if you agree with Christ and say, yes, Lord, I've sinned, then you're with Christ. And we see that it goes on, and then the man said to the woman, whom you gave to be with me? He blames it on her and on God. And that's what we do. We're found out in our sin and says, well, it was the wife you gave me. Oh, by the way, you gave her to me. And we start to blame God. It's not God's fault that you're in these consequences. Take responsibility. Say, God, it was me. I have sinned against you. And then in verse 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. She passed the buck too. We're always willing to find someone else's fault. Well, it's that person that I was hanging out with. Well, why did you hang out with them? Well, it's that place I went to. Well, why did you go to that place? You see, we need to own it up. God loves when we take responsibility for ourselves. When we say, it's me, God, it's me. Remember the Pharisee with the long prayers? And he prayed at the wall, the wailing wall. And as he was praying, he looked at that Gentile who was beating his chest. He says, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm not a sinner like that guy over there. That I don't have to beat my chest. My sin isn't bad. Thank you that I'm not like him. And the guy beating his chest says, Lord, forgive me for I have sinned. Forgive me. Confess your sin with God. Get it right. It's interesting because in verse 14, God said, and if I were God, I would have said, this is your punishment. Thank God I'm not. God is loving, God is merciful, and God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall go. And you shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity or hatred between you and the woman, and between your seed, little words, little letters, your seed, that's her descendants, or the Satan's descendants, and her seed, capital letters, showing deity. Many scholars believe that this is the first mention of Jesus Christ in Scripture, your seed, because he came from the lineage of Adam and Eve, from human. He was born to show relation to human, so he could become our kinsman redeemer. Remember, he had to be related. Now he's related to us. I will put hatred between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head. He, capital Jesus, will bruise your head. In these days, a head wound was considered fatal. He's going to take you out, and you shall bruise his, capital, heel. The cross was nothing more than him picking at his heel. You ever had a little tiny dog? Little chihuahua? They bite you, but it's just more annoying than anything else. That's all you're doing. You're just annoying Jesus, Satan. That's all you're doing. You're just a nuisance. That's all. You have no real power. And to the woman, he said, so he didn't curse man. Why? Because he had already blessed them. In the book of James, what does it say about that? That God is a good father. He is the father of lights who comes down with no variation or shadow of turning. Of his free will, he laid down his life for us. You see, he gives you a gift. He doesn't take it back because you messed up. He can still use you. His gifts are his gifts. His blessings are his blessings. And this man had been blessed, and this woman had been blessed. God doesn't take away the blessing. You can walk away from God, but he's always going to be trying to get you back. And it says to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you'll bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. The word desire is a Hebrew word that I've only found there and over in chapter 4. And it means rule over. So literally it would read, your rule over is for your husband, but he shall rule over you. It's a play on words. Over in chapter 4, when, you know, Cain is not being obedient to the word of God and he does things his way. The sacrifice that he brought to the Lord was not a burnt offering. It was the fruits and vegetable. He brought a a veggie tray, you know? And that's not what God required. He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? In verse 7 of chapter 4, this is God speaking to Cain. He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire to rule over you, but you shall rule over it. God has given us the ability to rule over our sin. You can't do it on your own. You have to rely on God, and you have to do what His Word says. That's where the power comes from. That's where the Holy Spirit makes Himself more present in your life than ever before, as you're doing all you can to walk close to Jesus. And then to Adam, He said, because you have done this, you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, Adam, not to eat. You shall not eat of it. Adam, why did you listen to your wife? And in premaritals, the husbands tend to think, I'm not going to listen to my wife ever, man. I don't care what she says. That's not the point He's making. The point He's making is, who is closer, let's just say husbands, who's closer to you than anybody in the world? Who has become one flesh with you? Your wife. So you tend to listen to her more. But you have been called to lead the house. And just like she was led astray, she was deceived and tried to bring that in. He should have said, no, babe. No. We can't do that. That's not right. He should have set up a standard of safety and protection, being a good covering for her. He says, but instead, Adam, I'm your covering, God said. And you're to hear my voice above anybody else's, even the one you love the most. I can say Yvonne is the one I love the most in this life. And then my children. And then it spreads out to others. But even if I listen to her above God, it's wrong. If she listens to me above God, it's wrong. If I'm wrong. You see, don't listen to anyone's voice when it's contrary to what? The Word of God. That's what He's saying here. It says, because you have listened to your wife instead of me. Cursed is you, Adam. No, He won't curse it. He has not cursed us. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. You're going to work from now on. It kind of gives a connotation that the work in the garden was not as bad as work is now. You know how work is. You know how finances are. It was different. It was a perfect environment. I do not believe that weeds were in that environment. Remember, I stepped to the side because the Bible doesn't directly say that. But now, after the curse, the weeds, the thorns, and the thistles, like I was telling my friend this morning who came over here, that weed that you're smoking, it was interesting. He says, I do not believe that God... My friends say it's okay to smoke pot because God made it. I've never believed that God made that, he said. It's a bad thing. And I know it is, though I'm hooked on it. I say, you know what? That's exactly what I said last time. I don't believe that God made the weeds. This is a part of the curse. I believe it's a cursed product, if you will. Because the environment that Christ had created, they call it the canopy theory, it was a perfect environment. There was no sin. Just like in heaven, there can't be sin in heaven. Remember when there was sin in heaven, what happened? He was cast down. Where? To earth. To torment us? No, so we could torment him. By walking in obedience, every choice you make to walk in obedience, you're tormenting him. Will he attack you? Absolutely. Should we be afraid? No. God can overcome anything he throws our way. Anything. Electricity? No problem. God is with me. Who could be against me? Concussion? No problem. Crash from behind? It's so cool. I'm good. No matter what he throws away. Pneumonia? Take my breath away. Big deal. Listen to Kurt's testimony. He's the one who makes your heart beat. How did you say it, Kurt? He's the one that gives you life. He gives you breath. I can breathe, but I'm still alive. The doctor says, dude, you're really in bad shape. You should have come in a long time ago. God can still do what he's going to do with you guys. Never lose sight of that. It says, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to Adam you shall return. Adam means dust or dirt. So now we see Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Eve means to live. Kahya. It's a Hebrew word that means to live or to give life, life, giver of life. And also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God. Remember the Lord God? Remember we talked about in the beginning, Elohim, creator, almighty, all powerful, omnipresent, omniscient. He's the one who created. But when he introduced himself in the garden, he says, I'm your Lord God. I'm Yahweh. I'm closer to you than you'll ever know. I'm here for you. In the midst of consequences, notice what he chooses to call himself, the loving Lord, Yahweh. If you're going through consequences now and you see it's a long road ahead, be encouraged that God is with you. Be encouraged that it's not Almighty God. It's Yahweh. That close personal acronym of a word. That God says, I'm here, I'm close, call on me. You can't do this without me. I'm here for you. And for Adam, his wife, Yahweh made tunics of skin and clothed them. What's interesting there, and that's where we'll close in verse 21, is he made tunics. He made coverings for them. It's an example of how he covers us now. Because in order to make a tunic of skin, where does the skin come from? The animals that he created. Because of the sin, death entered in. Because of the sin, consequences are going to be had all the way till now as we suffer consequences from one man's bad decision. But notice these animals had to die as a covering for their nakedness. It's an example of what Jesus did to cover our sin. But it wasn't an animal and it isn't skin. It's clothed in righteousness because of Jesus Christ who freely laid down his life. The Father didn't make him. He freely laid down his life. The Romans didn't take his life. He freely laid down his life. It wasn't the Pharisees. He freely laid it down so that you and I could be cloaked or covered. He's our covering of our sin. Our nakedness he bore. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord God, for the awesome and mighty power that you have to have the ability to lay down your life, Lord God, to take it up again, even more so. Father, as we consider the sin in our life, we ask that you would please forgive us. We come before you now. And Father, there's some of us here who know you very well. And some of us here who have asked you to become our Lord and Savior. But Father, if there's any in here who have not, I pray, Lord, that you move them. I pray that you call them, you beckon them, Lord God. We know that all things happen according to your direction, just like that young man came here today. It's not about him coming to church here. It's about him knowing the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And Father, maybe there's some here who have never accepted that saving grace, that free gift of salvation, not for the good deeds they've made, but in spite of the bad deeds they've made, the bad choices. And if you're here today and you've made bad choices in your life and you're tired of wallowing in the consequences of your sin. And you're ready to recommit or to commit for the first time ever to give your life to Jesus, not by laying it down in death, but asking him to come into your life, into your heart. I'm going to say a prayer, and I pray that as God calls you, if you're in that situation, that you would give your life to God now. For the Bible says that today is the day of salvation because we're not promised tomorrow. Our life could be ended today. And if you're ready to just ask Jesus, not just to forgive you, not just to be the savior of your life, but to be the Lord of your life. If you're here and you're ready to commit, you're tired of this world, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you now more than ever, come into my life. I accept the free gift of salvation, Lord. I thank you for the salvation. I thank you for your provision. I thank you for your sacrifice. I acknowledge it and I receive it. But Father, I don't want my life just to be a life of a forgiven soul. I want to serve you with my life, Lord. I want to turn away from these things that I'm hooked on or I participate in. The things you've told me not to eat of or partake of. And I ask, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Teach me how to walk in you. Help me to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Help me to understand your word. Help me to stay close to those who will not mislead me. And help me to stay far from those who will. Jesus, come into my life. If you've prayed that prayer, it's not about the words you said. It's about the position of your heart. The condition of our heart is never good, but once we let God in, it starts to change. As Jesus put it, go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Do your best, guys. Stay close to Jesus. God bless you.